Good morning, everyone, or hello, wherever you are in the world. This is Helen Kane from 1MSL, welcoming you to another webinar in our 1MSL series. As you can see on the screen, strengthening collaboration through shared purpose and recognizing the impact of communication preferences. This webinar is going to be led by my colleague, Helen Bly, who I am absolutely thrilled to have alongside me for the purposes of this session. Helen is one of our valued consultants here at 1MSL.
Hi, Helen. Thank you for
Hello.
inviting me. Hi.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I think you're in control, Helen. So
There you go.
I will let leave hand it over to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Helen. And good morning and good day to everybody on the call. I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me, Helen. Warm welcome, as I said. Now, what we are looking at today is collaboration. And I have chosen some quotes for you today, just as some examples of what collaboration or how collaboration could be seen. The first one there is by Simon Sinek. I'm not sure whether you've heard of him. He's the third most watched TED Talk. And a team isn't just a group of people who work together, but it's a group of people who actually trust, that should say each other, my apologies, rather than teach other. Then Henry Ford, obviously from motor car fame, coming together is the beginning, keeping together is progress, and working together is success. Just showing that actually there can be real struggles in maintaining that working together, even though it's easy at the start sometimes. And then Alexander Graham Bell, made the telephone, obviously. Great discoveries and improvements invariably involve the cooperation of many minds. So it's unusual that we can do everything all on our own. And then Mother Teresa, I can do things you cannot, and you can do things I cannot. Together, we can do great things. Steve Jobs from Apple fame, great things in business are never done by one person. And then Thomas Stelkamp, who is actually a director of Baxter, the pharmaceutical company, and a great businessman as well. The secret is to gang up on the problem rather than each other, which I particularly like. Is there one that stands out for you particularly, Helen?
I'm reading them and I'm really struggling because actually they all resonate with me on so many levels. But I think for me, I don't know the Mother Teresa one, you'll understand why this resonates for me. Angie has said the same, number four. Yeah, that really plays to my green energy, Helen, I think.
Thank you, Angie. That's great. And Greg, Alexander Graham Bell's is a little bit of a pun there, connects to you there, Greg. Yeah, I love the trust element as well. And I know, that's a great green energy one. And you might be wondering what we're talking about with green energy, but and we will that will come clear later on in the webinar. I also quite like six, actually, because I do feel sometimes when you're working cross-functionally that it can almost seem people are quite protective of their speciality. And I think actually sometimes we need to drop that and just say, look, actually, why are we all here together?
That's a really
So,
good call.
what we really want with collaboration, isn't it, is that we are pulling in the same direction. Whether you're working with people in the same function as you, cross-functionally, outside your organization, what you really, really want is to feel that your energies aren't being wasted, that you're pulling together and not opposing each other. So what I'd love you to do is consider someone for the purposes of the webinar who you would like to strengthen your collaboration with. And you don't have to share any names, so don't worry, this is purely for you. And it could be someone within your organization. It could be somebody outside your organization. But I think to have one person in mind just helps apply some of the tips that we're looking at. And if you could just share the groups, so we're not asking for names. Is it someone within your organization or your functional team? Sorry, someone in a cross-functional team or someone external to your organization that you're considering today? It's a cross-functional team. It's got most of the votes there. And I, you know, that doesn't surprise me, Helen, to be honest, because I think, you know, just as we said before, sometimes it can feel that we have different agendas when we're working with people from cross-functional teams, can't it?
Absolutely. And you know, and I know that you're going to touch on this, you know, people, I think in this day and age, you know, everyone is so passionate about doing the right thing, and sometimes that passion can almost overrule our critical thinking.
Yes, and I'm sure it's for the right reasons, absolutely. So if we have a look at shared purpose, now what do we mean by shared purpose? I've given you some quotes again. Andrew Carnegie, businessman. Teamwork is the ability to work together towards a common vision. So it's the ability to direct individual accomplishments towards the organizational objectives. So it's something bigger than the individuals. It's something that you're going to do for somebody else. It is the really motivational element of it. And then there's the other bit here that I really like. This is quite emotive as well, is if you want somebody to do something, don't just give them all the tasks, but actually show them and share with them the end result and what that can bring, the benefits of that to people. And Antoine was a he's an author. And then finally here, Idowu Koye, now I've written down Koyaniken, I believe is how you say that, who is a great thought leader and investor. And I Googled him. His mission is to positively impact and add value to a billion lives, which I think is incredible purpose statement to have. And this is about similar interests and working again, once again, towards the same goals. And I think so often we need to just forget for the moment what our functional purpose is and combine it for something bigger, so that we know what we're working towards. And if we can agree that, that actually makes a massive, massive difference to cross-functional working and working with other people. It means that you're more likely to be pulling in the same direction. And this needs to be discussed. I would recommend that it's discussed and that you say, what would success look like? So if we're going to achieve this, what would we see? What would we hear? So that people have got the same idea in their minds.
I really love, I know you're very passionate about words the way I am, but for me as well, a quote that I would add is a Stephen Covey one, start with the end in mind. Just really simple.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because it's so easy, unless we do that, Helen, it's so easy for each one of us to just have our own perception of what great looks like. But if we've discussed it, we've documented it, we know what we'll see at the end, that's the bit that makes the big difference as well. So if we look at going back to the person that you're considering for the webinar today, and we consider whether it's someone outside the organization, such an HCP or cross-functional for marketing, access, and sales, we thought it'd be interesting to have a look and say, actually, what is the purpose of each of those roles? And if we look at HCPs, very simply, responsible for identifying and managing the needs of patients. Marketing is identifying and anticipating the unmet needs of patients and customers and how we can best engage them. Market access is removing barriers so that the medicine is available for the right patients at the right time. And sales is about sharing knowledge about licensed medicines so that the right therapies can be chosen for patients. So the one purpose that we all have in mind there from a medical perspective and the others is obviously the patients. And I think that's a really great starting point for any conversation about purpose. If you're in a cross-functional project meeting, you're working in the field, cross-functionally, to keep the patient in mind there. This is something we've discussed a lot with different teams over the years, Helen, isn't it? About building trust. And demonstrating your purpose becomes into that. So if we're wanting to work with people long term, and we know we need to work long term these days, However credible you are, however much you know your role, and however reliable you are, and how you empathize with people, not sharing that shared purpose has a really detrimental effect on long-term trust building. And that means that you are then beginning to pull in the same direction. So let's have a look at the communication preferences. This is an element that people often think might be the issue for collaboration. And sometimes it can be, but I would really recommend that you look at purpose as well. So considering once again who you had in mind before, and just have a look at perception. So each one of us processes millions of pieces of data every second, but our brain filters most of it out. And that makes sense. If we think of ourselves from a survival mode, we can't process every bit of information straight away, can we? Each of us selects and filters that differently. So whether it's our past experiences, our expectations of the future, our DNA, how we were brought up, our values, what we're going through at the moment, and COVID's a great example of that. These are all different filters that people experience. So each one of us is actually experiencing this webinar differently, which is really a bizarre thought. So what's really important is that we value differences. And I think as human beings, Helen, that's not always easy, is it? Sometimes it's easier to stick with what you know. And I think Black Lives Matter is a great example of that at the moment, is people appreciating and valuing and learning more about different people. So whether your glass is half empty, half full, just consider that there's a value in both of those. So you remember Helen was talking about her green energy earlier on in the call, with the reflectiveness, the sensitivity there. And you might think, well, what does all this mean? And I think if we go back to that one person that you were thinking of earlier that you'd like to strengthen your collaboration with, which group would you say they were in? Because then you can do a comparison when we look at the next slides. Do they come from the same group as you, or would they come from a different one? So that's important. What's important is to be aware of your own style, but also to be able to recognise other people's. So we've got the colour energies once again. Let's have a look at what these mean. So this is based on the work of Carl Jung. And what he said was, we've got different preferences of whether we lead with our head in the way we approach thought, or whether we lead on a more empathetic feeling, leading with our heart preference. But also you'll see along the bottom here, we've got people who are more reflective and take their energy from within and take their time to consider and think, and people who are more extroverted. And what you'll find with those people is they tend to get their energy from being around other people, whereas the reflective people don't always need that to the same extent. So extroverted people you'll find might think out aloud rather than in their head. That's a great thing to recognise with extroverted people versus people who are thinking internally. And obviously we can flex in different situations and with different people. So we all have each of these four colour energies within us. It's just we have a preference for which ones we use. So what you might find if you've got blue energy is that you are more of a thinking type person and reflective, so more of an introverted type character, but thinking and extroverted would be a red energy. And then on the bottom, if you're more feeling, so you remember Katie said that she was green and yellow energy. She's got two different feeling energies there, one that's reflective and one where she gets her energy from other people. So the traits that you might see from somebody who leads with blue energy, cautious, precise, deliberate, these people are thinking through things. People who lead with blue energy, and obviously there's some of you who have chosen this, and I don't know whether you recognise what I'm saying, like the evidence before they make a decision. So that's why you might come across as cautious to other people. and deliberate, and you're questioning because you want the evidence. So there's some brilliant advantages of leading with blue energy, of making sure that things get done, that there's a process in place. Safety is another great one, that side effects can be managed. People who lead with red energy are much more impulsive, much more forthright, quite determined, competitive. They've got that thinking preference. So really about getting the task done as much as anything, in a very quite dominant manner. That's the extroverted bit coming out. And what you might find if you're dealing with sales functions and sales managers is that you find a lot of people here where you might recognize those red traits. So that's not to say that there won't be any of the other energies as well. But sometimes if you lead with a more introverted spectrum, you might find that a little bit uncomfortable at times. And this is where being able to recognize that, realize it's not personal, that it's somebody's style, and make sure you have your shared purpose can really, really make a difference. So for those people who lead with a feeling energy that is extroverted, that's the yellow energy. So Angie, you mentioned yellow energy, didn't you? Sociable, dynamic, loves being around people, enthusiastic, will always be able to chat to people. Great at getting a team together, great at pulling everybody together to work on something. But if you're very much a high blue energy person, you might find that a little bit chaotic, dare I say, because you can't see the process. And you need a little bit more time sometimes to think things through. The green energy, feeling and reflective. So you can see how this is the opposite of that red energy. Really putting people first, taking your time. So you might feel that people with the red energy are just moving forward too quickly without considering what everyone else thinks. So there's a real fairness to that green energy. And you remember Helen was talking about her green energy earlier, which is why the Mother Teresa quote stood out for her particularly. Right. So if you consider that one person you're trying to collaborate with and which energy they lead with. And as I said, you know, these are the pure energies. We all have all four. So these are the pure ones. You can see mixtures of blue, red, blue, green, blue, yellow in all of these. But the basics are people like evidence and they like time to reflect. So if you'd like to ask something of someone with blue energy, give them time. Give them time to put something into writing to give them time to reflect rather than put them on the spot. Let them consider all those details and make sure you know your stuff. Make sure that you have all of your evidence and all of that detail when you're talking to them. People who lead with blue energy don't, the opposite of yellow energy, don't tend to be great huggers. So they don't want to get too close. There's a little bit of just stand there, keep your distance a little bit. They don't like flippancy and don't make any changes, to be honest, without some notice and some warning. Now, green energy, which Helen very much recognises, this is the heart and the introvert, remember. So be patient with these people and be really supportive. And these people will really support you. Ask their opinion. So just because they might tend to be quiet and feeling, don't take these people for granted at all. Don't take these people for granted. They may seem placid, but actually really values driven. And it's really important to them that you bring everybody along. So if you take people who lead with green energy for granted, they will ultimately dig their heels in and will be really stubborn. So don't take advantage of that good nature.
It's really interesting, just as you're talking, Helen, because you will know, because as you said, you know, we've known one another a long time. But I often frustrate people because I'm trying to find the right words. So I'm thinking about something that I want to say, and I'm so concerned about getting it wrong that I'm thinking it through in my head. And people are then kind of almost speaking for me because, you know, they're not, they're, just speak, just say what you're thinking. Well, I don't know what I want to say.
I want to say the right thing to make sure that it appeals to everybody, that it
Exactly.
resonates with everybody, that I'm not going to upset anybody. And very similarly with people with yellow energy, they won't necessarily have that reflective nature over the choosing the right words. They'll use more words than they need to, but they will reflect afterwards. And if they think they've hurt somebody, boy, will they beat themselves up about it for ages afterwards as well. Whereas,
Self-awareness is a wonderful thing.
I know. But luckily, we all have all the energies. So that's not to say that people who lead with their head with the blue and red energies don't have that sensitivity. And you'll see the reflectiveness in the blue energy, but it's more likely to be for the evidence. And the red energy obviously have got reflective tendencies using their other colour energies afterwards. So here, people with yellow energy, yeah, be really friendly and sociable. You know, they love variety. So that hence the almost flippancy that might be seen with the blue energy, because these people can ping from one idea to another really easily. So can be amazingly creative, but incredibly frustrating if you lead with an opposite energy as well. Not great on details, which is why working with someone who leads with blue energy is a great compliment. Not great at being tied down with routine and would much rather work in a group than working on their own. So red energy, really focused on the task, as we said, leads with the head, extrovert, don't waffle. So if you've got yellow energy, this could really frustrate someone with red energy, because you will find that you're saying far too many words. They just want to know what it is you want to say and then end of the conversation. So if you've got a feeling energy, that can be quite tough sometimes. Focus on the results, focus on the objectives. Don't focus on your feeling, focus on the task. And don't try and take over, because you'll find these people often demonstrate more of an ego than the other colour energies, which is really good reason why we have lots of colour energies there to be able to demonstrate.
You know, it's interesting. Just I'm reflecting as you're sharing this, Helen, and I'm thinking about two situations that I had, back in corporate life, and two managers. So people talk about, who was the most inspirational manager that you ever had, and mine was someone who led with red, but who was incredibly self-aware. And so even though there was the potential for us to for there to be a challenge there in terms of our style, because of his awareness, that allowed that relationship to work. But then I also recall a situation where there was someone who was less aware, and that led to conflict. So isn't it so interesting how that simple level of understanding can really affect the dynamics of your professional working?
Absolutely, absolutely, Helen. It's great, great examples there. And that's why I love this so much. Having done similar courses with teams in the NHS as well as pharmaceuticals, there's light bulb moments, you know, between consultants and nurses, for example, going, that's why. That's why. And it's just amazing that people who've worked together in teams, and there might be that friction, or they know they've got to crack on with it, but they don't understand why things aren't as comfortable with some people as they can be with others that they work with. It's just great to be able to understand it, explore it. Actually, what can we do about this? You know, we've got our purpose, but actually, what's important for the way we work together? And those are great conversations to have as well if you're aware of your energies. You know, what are my strengths? You know, one of talking about best leaders, one of the ones I had was this: these are my strengths. This is what you can guarantee I'll do. This is what I'm rubbish at. You know, so really being open and honest about it as well, saying this is where I'll need your support. So there are strengths and there are downsides of each of the energies, absolutely.
It's also quite a nice when you're building a team, it's thinking about, if you've got this level of awareness about people's strengths, as you say, and say, what do we have in this team and what's missing? What do we need to bring into the team that we don't currently have? Because very often we're attracted to people that are very like ourselves, aren't we? Because we're very comfortable with
Yes.
those people. So
Yes.
actually it's saying, you know what, we need somebody here who's perhaps more blue or more yellow or whatever it is. And if you've got that's a really incredible moment, as you say, a light bulb moment.
Absolutely. And if you've got a project team where you can pull people in to work towards an end point, you don't want everybody with yellow energy so that they'll work as a team because meetings would never, nothing would get done. You need some red energy to set the goals. You need someone to be able to measure the results. You need to make sure that everything resonates with everybody else and we is going to bring people on board. You know, all of the color energies are so important. So just as a reminder of the four different energies there, these are the good day energies. I mean, I've referred to some of the what we call bad day energies that you can have as well, how you can be seen by the opposite color energy, and how if you're stressed, these can be amplified even more. So there's all sorts that you can go into when we explore this in more detail, as you know, Helen. So just some questions we've had in the past. Is there any science behind this? And absolutely, it's based on the work of Carl Jung. Can it be run as a workshop for a cross-functional team? Absolutely. And we've done that virtually recently, haven't we? As well as face-to-face. And can my color energies be identified more precisely? And absolutely, we run a variety of different tools depending on the depth that you want to explore that. So we can support you with that as well. Helen, is there any other questions that we get that we haven't popped on there?
Maybe people who are either on the line or who are listening to this might be interested to know, what does a workshop look like? That so can it be run as a workshop? We're doing a lot of stuff virtually these days. So how on earth do you do this virtually, Helen?
It's a really good question. It's a really good question. We explore some of the theory in a bit more detail, but actually we do a variety of breakout rooms, and there's all sorts of boards like Miro boards that you can use so that people can put their own post-its on or use the whiteboards in the chat rooms. So there's lots of ways for sharing ideas and what that means in small groups, as well as coming back together and sharing that in the main group then. I think we can look at, you know, group purpose within that. Very much is what would a high performing team look like, and it really depends on what people want to achieve. So we very much tailor it according to each situation. There's no way it's an off the shelf. I really do like to tailor what we do to people to make sure that it fulfills their needs. And then what we can do as well is obviously share the profiles of people. So depending on what level of detail they've got, people love reading those reports and usually say, God, it's like my mum's written it. It's amazing. How did you know all this about me? And it's, you know, it's just so exciting to see. And really it's what next to really strengthen your collaboration even more.